The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
8 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Power Hour. By the way, the Power Mall is now open. We're in Central Time, and so, you know, 8 to 4. And so you're welcome to call up and help keep us on the radio. And, of course, you know, as part of the educational factor that we do on this show, we from time to time will have people who have authored books that are pertinent to our commentary and discussion here. And, of course, the phone lines, again, 844-769-2944. Phone lines are always open if you've got some commentary here. We have something that is very, very relevant in what's going on right now because of the fear-mongering. You know, we're hearing reports now that Marburg is on the way and it's contagious and everybody's going to be bleeding out. And now, you see, this is scare tactic. They're going to try to tell you it's transmissible and all this other junk. You don't know what to believe. It's just like this balloon garbage that we've been hearing about. And Bill just chimed in and said that he thinks it might even be the United States shooting down its own balloon, you know, and trying to point a finger at China. And the only reason they're doing it is because they just discovered more classified documents at the University of Delaware. So and then let's not forget about Biden's brother, Bill, or Jim, rather. You can call me Jim or you can call me whatever. Just made a deal with the Saudis. Let's not forget all the millions of dollars he brought in. Biden family's getting rich off their little scheme, and now they're benefiting from it. So much for access, huh? This is one of the reasons why we're having a very difficult time trusting our government, because it's supposed to be the government doing the will of we the people, not the other way around. Dr. William Chobe is with us here. He's got a book out called Liberty in America, Past, Present, and Future, A Prescription for America. Yeah, I think the prescription is somebody needs to write a prescription for Washington, D.C. They need an enema. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me on here. It's great to talk to you about these kinds of things. Something's been on my mind for many years, and I hope I poured out my mind into this book that I'd like to share with your audience.
Well, we're all for it. I love it. Go ahead.
Well, here's what the message I'm trying to carry throughout the book, and I show the trailer, the thread throughout history, is that might, when might is right, you're in bondage. When right is might, you're free. When right becomes wrong, we live in chaos. And one of the two outcomes would be more might or more right. In the case of might, we become in further bondage, and if it's right, we become further free. So what I've done is I've gone back through history to basically antiquity, and because you're from Texas, you probably will understand the Apollo 11 and Apollo 14 missions and how it ties into this. But, you know, they landed on the moon, and when they did, there's a little-known fact that they left a mirror behind on both occasions, and we shoot that mirror with a laser from the Earth. And what it does is it gives us an accurate measure of time that can be traced back through antiquity to give us dates that are relevant to the development of liberty. When we look at the moon, it's 1/400th the size of the sun and 400 times further away the sun is than the moon is from the Earth. And as a result, we get a complete solar eclipse or a blood moon. Now, that's important because throughout, it's a marker in some of the ancient civilizations where they've recorded on stone or cuneiform tablets. It sort of puts it all history in perspective. It's much more accurate than, say, for example, doing carbon testing. But that becomes important because when we go back into the development of the idea of freedom that we so enjoy today, you can't really have freedom until you have a literate people, because what has happened throughout the ages is that might has always been right, and going back to the divine right of kings who claim ascendancy to Adam when God gave Adam dominion over the earth. Of course, everybody should have the same, but they use that argument to keep the illiterate people under control. So where do we get the beginning of the rule of law and illiteracy? Well, this goes back to the story of Joseph in Egypt, a familiar Old Testament story. But archaeological discoveries have found that the first cuneiform or first primordial letters were developed during that time. Now, from there, an alphabet was created. The letter A, for example, was an oxen with its two horns that was upside down or on the side, turned upside down to become the letter A. So through that, these Hebrews developed a rudimentary alphabet, but it wasn't until Moses came along, and we know the story about him being killing the Egyptian and headed out to Sinai and then coming back to free the people. When they got back to Sinai, as he led the Hebrews through the desert, they went up on Mount Sinai, and the first rule of law that was written by the finger of God in the Ten Commandments. So from that became the foundation of Western civilization. Now, mind you, there were other kinds of similar decrees of what the might is the right, but none of these have really survived intact as the Ten Commandments have. But that's the foundation of liberty, because it sets the confines. And I should define that there's a difference between freedom and liberty. Freedom essentially is... It becomes liberty when it's confined by certain parameters. So if you have a government or a ruler who has says, well, you can do this behavior within these confines. And on the outsides of that, the basic standards of don't kill people, don't steal, and, you know, that sort of thing. But the development of that liberty has gone through its ups and downs, but it's primarily pursued by those who were oppressed. The greatest advocates of liberty are those that have felt the sting of not having it. We see this thread go out as through history as well. So taking that basic premise that here we have the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's on the building of the Supreme Court. Moses is in the center of the top of that front of the Supreme Court for that reason. But so as we develop these ideas, and of course we look at the Romans, we look at the Greeks. The Greeks were several centuries later, more like 400 or 500 BC, when they come up with philosophers started talking about this idea of what a community should look like. And we have Plato's Republic, where he describes essentially absolute communism as the only way to protect the liberties of people. And on the other hand, arguing against that was Aristotle, who basically said that it's the individual at the family level and the community level that is the foundation of freedom. So those two basic threads were defined by the ancient Greeks are pretty much recognizable today just in our government and, of course, in communist governments. But although at that time they were just considered to be theories, there was very few actual implications or utilizations of those theories. But the theories were out there, so people were thinking about it a long time ago. And along come the Romans, and of course they had the 12 tablets of stone, and we had Pax Romani for 1,000 years or so. But that all fell apart too. So in all of this that's been going on, we move into the Middle Ages, where we have the great battles between the Christians and the Muslims over the Temple of Jerusalem, and most of you are familiar with that. Out of that came the Knights Templar. The Knights Templar were the classic example of the first organized attempt to bring freedom and liberty to the world. And they were so successful at it with what they became. Let me back up a second. The Knights Templar were an order of monks that that became the example of the knights in shining armor that you also hear about, King Arthur and stuff like that. Those guys were Templars. And they were the ones that created many opportunities. They provided protection to pilgrims to Jerusalem and back. They supposedly preserved a lot of the treasures of Jerusalem that was sacked after the Romans went through there. But with them, they started, because they were international in scope, it became very powerful. And to join the Templars, you had to give up all your earthly wealth and take an oath and be totally committed to the cause. Well, they created a lot of money. They got a lot of money. They had their own fleet of ships, and they had property all over the place, extremely successful. And now we have these country states, such as France, and you have the influence of the Catholic Church over top of that, which they became very jealous of it, and they ended up owing the Templars a lot of money, and rather than paying them back, they decided they were going to destroy them. Well, those people were scattered on Friday the 13th when Jacques de Molay, who was the head of the Templars, was burned at the stake, and he declared from that point both the Pope and the King of France were going to die within the year, and lo and behold, they did, of natural causes, mind you, or supernatural causes. But the Templars were scattered. Some went north, some came south. Those that went north up through Scotland, they became explorers, and they were in the northern part of this country long before Columbus ever came along. And they were essentially the first discoverers of America. And you may have followed the curse of Oak Island and the influence that the Templars had there and the buried treasures and such. But it goes back before the time of Columbus. But going to Columbus, his great discovery was that he found that if you went below the equator, you could travel west with the winds, and if you went above the equator, you can travel back east again. So he found the track to America. But he was also in the same realm as the Templar. In fact, his father, father-in-law, I should say, was high up in that organization. And he, again, the oppressed, the people that were being oppressed by the Grand Inquisition in Spain, who were given a deadline, get out of Spain or Portugal, or on October 31st, or you're dead, or we're going to take your money and throw you in prison to languish until you die. So the people that funded the Columbus's trek over here were basically people of faith. At that time, they were called Messianics and Neo-Messianics. The Neo-Messianics were converted Jews, and the Messianics were the followers of the way, followers of Christ. So they brought that message over here. And this is why when you look at the Columbus ship, you see the cross on there. That's a Templar cross. So as we see that development happen within this country, the battle between might and right had a lot to do with the Catholic Church and also the Anglican Church later on. But they were in control. They were power. And they decided that anybody that didn't believe the way they did were heretics and had to be, you know, persecuted. Well, in England, they were persecuted, a group of separatists that we would call pilgrims. And the pilgrims made their way over here in the 1621s, and through their experiences, through setting up their colony in Massachusetts, what we call Massachusetts, they developed, because they were outside the jurisdiction of the king, being caused by being driven north by the storm, they had to find a way to govern themselves, and they did that through the Mayflower Compact. And that was the first time in the history of the world that you had a free people decided that they were going to govern themselves by the rule of law that they freely chose. And that constitution of sorts was a pattern that was eventually established and followed through the constitutions of the colonies, the states, and eventually into the U.S. Constitution. So in order to talk about freedom in America, we have to look at the original documents. And part of the declaration was we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Well, that's a nice statement. But when you want to find out the purpose of something, you go to the Creator. And in this case, the Creator is God. We are created by God. I mean, anybody can argue that we aren't. That's sort of, you know, that's a whole different story. So what did the Creator mean when he said that, or he treated us as equal? Well, we were equally flawed. We're equal because we are not the perfection that he is. So because we're all equally flawed, then he would treat us equally, right? So that idea was then later, and this is what the founders used as a basis of this statement that we're all created equal. Because prior to that, you had the King of England says, no, you're not. There's serfs and there's, you know, lords of the manor and such. And the might was right. But when they said, taking that concept that we are equal in the eyes of God because we're all flawed, and then turn that into an idea of equality that became estanched in our Constitution and in our way of life, that set a pattern that's never, ever been achieved. But that the progression of the freedom that alone afforded had to go back four or five, you know, well, it had to go back 4 or 5 centuries B.C. in order for it to mature into that situation. And again, it was the oppressed or the ones are the strongest advocates of freedom. And when we look at what's going on today in this country, you can see that the people that are being called insurrectionists, quote unquote, now, or the troublemakers, are the ones that are seeking freedom. And I believe it
must
battle
be talking about the deplorables.
Right.
Yeah. He's talking about
well,
the deplorables.
But you see the threat.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Well, that's my point is that this is something that goes back to the beginning of time. And we know what the outcome could be if we make that choice to put right back up in there. And I believe that this is also the reason why the fact that right is emerging, right as a Judeo-Christian definition of right, is why there's so much opposition to people of faith in the public square. I'll let you get a word in.
you're this is really good. See, folks, what you don't understand is Bill is covering, he is covering chapter by chapter, going through the book, giving you the 40,000-foot view of everything is going on. And I'm following along on my ebook copy, and it's just amazing how we're taking going from point A to point B so quickly with this 40,000-foot view. And I'm down to page 56 right now, where I'm sitting there looking at something that's very near and dear to my heart. And that was being able to go on the historic trail in Boston to see the Old North Church, to see the lanterns, to go to Paul Revere's house, and to look at the poem memorialized in prose by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow about the midnight ride of Paul Revere. And this is why I asked the question on my show, Dr. Bill, how many Wacos and Ruby Ridges do we have before people wake up?
Well, there's a flashpoint that's coming, I believe, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to be something that's, insurrection, armed insurrection, as they would like to call it that, but I like to take a moment to go back to the old Rude Bridge that arched the flood that April morn, where the shot was fired around the world.
Right
at the base of that old Rude Bridge was the graves of 2 16-year-old British soldiers who were the first to die there. They buried them on the spot. Can you imagine that? 16-year-old
wow.
British soldiers. I did that walk. That is an amazing journey to go through there. And I really appreciate you bringing that up, because a little bit more of American history, if you don't mind, I'd like to toss in here. When after the French and Indian War, which in western Pennsylvania is well known, George Washington was a key figure in that. He was a young colonel at the age in his 20s when a lot of the battles that set the stage for the First World War, the French and Indian War, that essentially was bankrupting France and England for fighting each other. And France's way of dealing with that debt was to raise taxes on the rich. And what the English did is raise taxes on the colonists, who eventually the tea tax and many others led to the rebellions. And what started the spark that led to those events at the old Rude Bridge and then Old North Church. So without the input of George Washington and the protection that man had, he should have died at least 7 times. In western Pennsylvania, he was shot at by an Indian at 15 yards that missed. He survived being dunked in the Allegheny River in the middle of December. He should have died, but he managed to get to, he and Christopher Gist managed to make it to an island where they stayed overnight, and Washington supposedly slept like a baby, but the other guy got feet and frost fingers, walked off the rest of the river on ice the next day. When he came back a year or two later, he got into a confrontation with the French to where an ensign, a diplomatic ensign, was killed by an Indian, and George Washington got blamed for it, and which led to a battle over at Great Meadows near Uniontown, Pennsylvania, that led to, it's July 4th, 1754 of all times, in the middle of the heated battle of which George's Virginians were getting clobbered, a tremendous thunderstorm came through and got everybody's powder wet. So they had a parley, and in the parley, the French had written in French, interpreted by a Dutchman, George Washington signed a paper which basically he admitted to killing the ensign Jean-Monville, the French diplomat. And that got its way back, started a war that went on for 7 years. And that debt led to the oppression of the colonists and eventually sparked the American Revolution. So his role was very significant in that. But one of the other battles that they had is they went to go and to recover Fort Duquesne, which is now Pittsburgh. He was with General Braddock, and he was in that battle where the British got massacred. Washington was the only one that survived, the only officer that survived. He had 4 bullet holes in his coat, and not one touched his skin. He had his hat shot off from him and 2 horses out from under him, till finally the Indians said they wouldn't shoot at him anymore because they thought he was protected by the Great Spirit and that one day he would be a great leader. So these are the things that makes it so incredible to talk about this. Freedom is, you know, freedom and liberty is, it's really a spiritual thing. It's beyond. I mean, you can be sitting in a prison, languishing for months, but you still have a concept of freedom, holding on to that hope. And it's such a powerful idea that gets right down to the core of who we are, that I don't believe it'll ever be tolerated, might overwrite forever. It's just so important to the whole idea of personhood that it always creates faith, and faith leads to courage, and courage leads to victories. And unfortunately, victories often lead to slothfulness and degradation. But that's the pattern, and it goes back to the get-go.
I noticed that you kind of cover some of the. I appreciate that. You kind of covered the Federalist, some of the Federalist Papers. I know that, you know, that this is our founding fathers actually were putting their thoughts into motion, which is what these papers were all about. You know, perhaps you might elaborate just a little bit before you get into Chapter 7.
Well, there's a couple things. One thing I do want to bring out, I don't forget what chapter is in, but today Americans are frustrated. They see the expansive growth of the bureaucracies and how these unelected people who are protected by civil service have become petty tyrants. And in many cases, they create laws or they create rules or regulations that have the same effect of a statute, which is something that's voted on by legislatures. And they have the ability to also judicial function and executive function. So the 3 primary functions that are separated in our Constitution with the executive, judiciary, and the legislative are combined into these bureaucracies. When we look at the how these people dealt with this before, I mean, this goes back to basically the Civil War with the Jim Crow laws. And the Jim Crow laws basically were used by Southern Democrats to keep the blacks from voting, among other things, by basically saying, well, we have a law that says you can't. So as a result of that, after the Civil War, there was a Civil Rights Act of 1871 that was signed into law by then-President Grant, and it's U.S. Code 42 U.S.C. subsection 1983 that is of the most interest. And what this does, this subsection, which exists to today, and I would really encourage your listeners to look at this as a remedy for this overreach by the bureaucracy. And it basically says that any government agency, and then this would apply to any level through the 14th Amendment, because that bestows federal protection of due process to everybody, and not just like it was with the 5th Amendment. But any actor who is wearing the mantle of government, whether it be dog catcher right up to the president, who creates damages to somebody by violating their civil rights, they are personally liable to pay the damages. You know, back at the time of the colonists, when they had trouble with the tax collector, you know, they didn't screw around. They'd burn their house down or they'd tar and feather them. We don't have a remedy that we use to deal with these bureaucrats who are taking our freedoms from us or taking our property from us under the guise, under the color of the law. I'd encourage your listeners to look that up, U.S. Code 42 U.S.C. 1983.
Just I have Google spent a lot of time. I've spent a lot of time in that 42 USC. And see, the other thing is 1985, too, when you have one or more than one actor involved in ripping you off of your civil rights. That's 1985. And so, yeah, for those of you see so many civil rights lawsuits being filed this day, I still am looking for the recipe of tar and feathering. I think it's still a novel idea, and half of our politicians need to experience that at least once in their life to make them understand that it's we the people they're serving, not the other way around. But, you know, with this corrupt government that we've got right now and these unfair elections, I mean, this is the whole crux of our country, folks, is the elections are supposed to be free and fair and not manipulated. We need to get rid of the machines and go back to the way things used to be. This is the only way that things are going to change. And until we, the people, start yelling and doing more than yelling, this is why I look, Bill, I mean, you're a great historian here in the perspective of this book. History repeats itself. Do you see another civil war as a possibility?
Yes. Well, I think it's going to be different than just, you know, bullets. It'll be more like ballots, and it's already underway. But my greater fear is that while we are locked in this confusion, we are vulnerable to other forces outside the country. And then the fact that the Chinese, they've been at war with us for years. The Russians were waiting for an opportunity. And now, you know, with what's going on over there in Ukraine, who knows what side's right from all the different things you hear. But can I take a moment to talk about the 17th Amendment? Because I know we're sort of running out of time.
Well, no, actually, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break at 28 minutes after the hour and come back at 32 so we can continue this conversation. So,
okay, well, let's hold that one for a moment then, because I think it's very pertinent for today. Going back to the book, you know, I've gone through and I've tried to pick out the parts of the Constitution and the amendments that affected personal liberty. Now, the Constitution was primarily a document which was to constrain government, not to constrain people. But the freedoms that were, you know, part of the deal was that when the states created the federal government, and of course they, you know, we know that they are the child of the states, and it's not the other way around, that there's an opportunity for that to be changed through the Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry, for the amending process as put in Article 5, the Article 5 now being promoted by the Convention of States. And if we
I got to ask you about
this,
that.
This is always, okay.
I got to ask you about that because there's
one, so let's hold on
there,
to that.
I know it, but that's a dangerous, to me, it could be a dangerous thing, because if big money in politics gets involved in the Convention of States and they manage to get 2/3 of the states to open this thing up under Article 5 and they all come in and start voting to amend things like the Second Amendment, we're in trouble.
Well, there's a lot to be said about that. And at this point, though, the Convention of States is just promoting three ideas. So they're signing on. When the states sign on, it's under those three ideas that essentially are term limits and the fiscal balancing the budget and the flat tax, I believe, or something like that. So they wouldn't be able to go that next step to change anything because the original premise was those three items. But anyhow, that's a process that then needs to be looked at seriously.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Now, by the way, for those of you who do not, you need a little refresher course. I have in my hot little hand here, if you're watching us on the live stream video, a copy of the Constitution of the United States, and we sell these at the Power Mall. So if you need a little refresher course, or you need to share this with your friends that you're trying to convince, we appreciate that. Dr. Chobe has a website called Dr. Bill Chobe Books. .com. His last name is Chobey, drbillchobeybooks.com, if you want to order a copy, as well as, you know, going to Amazon and other places, and it's all over the week. We're going to be bringing Dr. Chobe back after the bottom of the hour break here on the Power Hour. We will take your phone calls, too, if you have questions. Obviously, we'll get to that 17th Amendment conversation as well. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. ShopThePowerMall.com. That's theparamall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we are back at 32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, and it's Thursday, February 16th, 2023. We have Dr. Bill Chobe with us on the phone, and of course, he has written a book that everybody needs to be paying attention to called Liberty in America, Past, Present, and Future. The prescription for America, and I already brought up my prescription. I got that from actually from Batman. This town needs an enema. He was actually talking about Gotham City, and this thing is that it's really amazing how Hollywood portrays Gotham City. It looks almost like DC because all the corrupt criminals and the shysters and the hoodwinkers and everybody live there. It's crazy. Bill in Illinois, you're back on the show. You have a question for Dr. Chobe.
Well, not a question, just a comment. I was going to say, you know, God is a God of free agency, freedom to choose. But with choice comes consequences. Satan is, on the other hand, is a force. And don't forget the war in heaven. Everything stems from that. Satan was one-third was cast out. Those were spirit children. They lost their second estate by gaining bodies here. Now, they're here to tempt us. And Satan also has control over certain riches and things. We know that by Christ, when he did his 40-day fast, where Satan took him on the side of a mountain and said, we can have all these riches and these kingdoms if you just worship me. And Christ told him, be gone, for it said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And, people have control over this, and people make pacts with Satan. That's what I believe has been going on. And you got to follow the money. You got to follow the money, and that's where it's all at. You know what I mean? Satan's goal is to destroy mankind. He hates us, and that's what we got to understand. Yeah. We got to know who the actual enemy is.
Well, yes, I understand it, but you know, there's half the country doesn't understand that. And
that's right, for that, Bill. You're right about that.
They turn a deaf ear, but here's a little bit of enlightening. I saw it this morning. Hello, you still there?
No, he hung up, but we're still here.
Hello?
No, I mean, the point is well made.
Hung up. Okay.
Yeah, he hung up, but it's okay. I get his point, exactly where he's coming from, but you have an alternate thought.
Yeah. Well, this just that today I read in the local paper here that more than half of people in America no longer trust the mainstream media. And that means that free will that dear caller was talking about is in effect as well. I mean, we have become essentially we are a country founded on Judeo-Christian principles that include such things as equality, life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness and the protection of property. Those go back to the Ten Commandments. But we've become to a point over time a country of people, of believers we've been governed increasingly by pagans who have called themselves Christians or Jews, and they are, in fact, they're not. They believe in killing babies. They believe in enforcing people to have gender transitions and things like this. That certainly is not what we would consider to be the morals of Judeo-Christian country. So there's the problem. But yes, it does exist in the other world, in the spiritual world, and it's always been that way. We go back through time, the might versus right. That's the basic concept of that. But from a practical standpoint on dealing with these issues, we have to talk about the framework that we have, the blueprint that we have in front of us, and what we can do as a people to effectuate change to preserve the freedom that we enjoyed over the past 250 years. I would like to add that, after World War II, I grew up after World War II in the 50s. It was a totally different world than it is today. I mean, I'm 71, and I've seen the changes that have happened in this country. But I remember the days as a kid. It was like living the Little Rascals world. We didn't worry about being kidnapped or people shooting up schools or anything like that. It was very safe. We were kids 8, 9, 10 years old. We'd jump on public transportation, go into town, and spend the day, buying peanuts or feeding the pigeons or candy or whatever have you. And my parents never cared about it. But that was across the board. It was like that. And why was this? Not because everybody suddenly was just so virtuous. It was that the generation, the greatest generation, came out of a depression, came out of the great agricultural disasters of the dust days. They came out of World War II, and they were sick and tired of trouble. They were sick and tired of war, destruction. They wanted to create a world that was safe. And my generation, the baby boomers, were benefactors of all of that. So as time has gone on and we forgot about the very things that created the world that we enjoyed as kids, this other side started, view started to work its way in there through liberalism, and it had to do with this concept that in order for things to be fair and equal, everybody has to have the same stuff. So that plays into where we are today, and that's inculcated and embedded at a very high level of our educational systems, and I believe this is where the great threat comes from, is that people actually believe this trash. But those of us who've lived the free America, the safe America, know much differently. So that's
where we have a lot of
to where we are.
Well, and you're right. And we have a lot of homeschool moms and homeschool kids listening to this show. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, I think that's where people have to get right with the father and get right with what's going on. And this is why we have the Constitution. And we talk about it on the show, Bill. And this whole situation were getting to the 17th Amendment. You want to go ahead and elaborate on that?
Yeah, but just real quickly about the homeschoolers out there. When I do reenacting, I do George Washington reenacting. I tell the story from a personal standpoint of his exploits in Western Pennsylvania. And occasionally we would do these first grade kids from out at Fort Ligonier in Ligonier, Pennsylvania, which is east of Pittsburgh. And when I would do these discussions before these kids that were homeschooled and public schooled, you could watch the difference in attention. The homeschooled kids were listening. They'd ask questions. The public school kids were fiddling around, playing around with whatever they had in front of them. They weren't interested. And I think that's because, I mean, I encourage more people to do that, to homeschool. And remember, too, that George Washington was homeschooled. He was homeschooled by his mom. He couldn't go to school. He couldn't afford to. He was a country bumpkin. But he learned, you know, by daily practice. I mean, he would practice cursive writing, like, for an hour every day. Just that's why it's, when you see his writings, they're just letter perfect and grammatically perfect letters. Okay, 17th Amendment. And this is about the election of senators versus the original idea, which was to appoint senators by the state legislatures. The purpose was that the senators would represent the collective interest of the states. So in a case of, say, a dispute about interstate commerce or, you know, the expansion of the role of the EPA or something like that, the senators were supposed to be the ones that called the feds to task on it. Well, part of the progressive movement was that the idea that senators should be elected started to build up interest in public discussions in the early part of the 20th century. And somehow or another, we got away from the primary role of the Senate, which was to contain the federal government, into becoming a food fight for votes, with them being responsible to special interests. And it's a mess we have today. It goes back to the fact that there's a 17th Amendment. The classic case, a classic example of how the 17th Amendment has become a huge problem to us is the recent election of Senator Fetterman in Pennsylvania. And the reason I say this, that part of his campaign, being from Pennsylvania, part of his campaign was that the abortion issue. Now, mind you, prior to that, last February or so, the Supreme Court decided that Roe versus Wade was a state issue. So as far as the state's interests were concerned, from a standpoint of a senator, that should have been it. Good, you'd say the state's got their rights back, you know, deal with it. But instead, that issue, the abortion issue, was used by Fetterman and the Democrats to get him elected. And we know that he was medically and really compromised at the time during this campaign. But because here was an issue that was already settled, it belongs to the states, the senator's original job was to see to that. And instead, it became a campaign issue. It was used to raise funds, and it was used to stimulate votes. And eventually, we ended up with a senator who is not all there. And I think the people of Pennsylvania have been deprived the opportunity to select somebody based upon the merit rather than this whole notion of something that had already been settled. So the 17th Amendment is something that should also be looked at with being amended or removed, because it was such an important check and balance on the federal government. When that check and balance was removed, it opened the door for the bureaucracies to run amok over all the states' rights. And then it became a point where the states had to defend themselves, positively defend themselves in court in order to assert themselves. And we see this recently with the decision of the EPA and West Virginia, where the EPA decided that they, wherever there was a puddle that lasted more than, you know, a few hours, the jurisdiction of the EPA went. And that was way out of bounds. That should have been stopped. That would have been stopped if we had senators who represented the collective interests of the states rather than the constituents who have congressmen already to represent them. So just my two cents.
It is. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Dr. Bill Shelby. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. By the way, my late husband did a, he was, we had a 10th Amendment movement going on here in Kansas, and he was trying to figure out a way to put some teeth into it. And he actually did a real good study of, and he ended up saying that, looking at the 17th Amendment, and it only changes the way that the senators are elected. And because of the amending clause, where no state shall be denied equal suffrage in the Senate, I believe that, and he believed that the states still have the right to recall their senators if they're not, you know, representing the state. The other thing is, you cannot limit a CONCON, because when the what became the Constitutional Convention was, It was just to amend the Articles of Confederation. And there were people who were sent there with their instructions that when they saw what was going on, some of them left. And then they locked the doors. And they, you know, most of them were Masons. Many of a lot of them were lawyers and wealthy landowners. We can't limit a constitutional convention. And the way things are going now, you know, I think it would be disastrous. Mike Gaddy is someone who's on RBN, and he's actually gone back and read the letters of that are in the National Archives of between the people that were at the Constitutional Convention, like Washington and Madison and John Adams and stuff. And, you know, those people, they just cared about, I'm convinced they mostly just cared about making money and being able to tax the people.
Let Bill comment on that one, Jerry.
I think a lot of the points that you raise are valid. And Goose said the Articles of Confederation. And mind you, during the Civil War, when Lincoln was president, he said the South could not secede because in the Articles of Confederation, which those colonies signed into, there was a perpetual contract. In other words, once they signed into that, they could never, ever leave. And that was used as part of the justification for the war the Civil War. But I think that whenever there's any kind of human interaction, there's going to be money changes hands. But that doesn't it's not fair to paint the whole process in that way. We wouldn't have the freedoms that we have today, as flawed as they were. And I believe that it was Washington that said that we could not come up with another without another war. Now, there's talk, of course, of how a constitutional convention today would work. Well, if we use the remedy endorsed by Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, and originally he was the one who was the author of the Article 5 solution, the other alternative, and this was also described in Washington's farewell address, the other alternative is war. And I think most people would rather have people yell at each other about whose idea is better at a convention than it would be to have war. I mean, would you agree? We have to accept the fact that everyone is flawed. Our politicians are flawed, that there's good and evil out there jockeying for position to get the power to make might right again. And we have to contend with that within the confines of logic and of persuasion rather than start shooting at each other again. And I dare say that would not be a good experience. And it would make us vulnerable to the invasion by the Chinese if we started shooting with one another. So we've got to pull together one way or another and start remedying these problems, or we're going to be taken over by, the old scriptures say, by a country whose language you don't understand.
Yeah, that makes sense, Bill. And I'll tell you something else that really blows me away is that if with half of America being dumbed down and illiterate, and everything you just talked about when you were doing your Washington narrative about the homeschoolers paying attention and the public schoolers not, goes to exactly the 50% of America that is dumbed down, that doesn't care. All they care about is their toil and their next meal. This is what Harold Rosenthal said before they took him out on that Il-Al flight. So, you know, we understand what's going on, and there's a lot of people out there that believe, and this is why Americans are arming themselves, and every time the federal government goes in and they make some stupid comment, which is why, you know, I love the idea of that Biden-Fetterman 2024, it's a no-brainer bumper sticker. I understand the concept here. And this is the thing. If America is going to remain dumbed down and they're not going to come to grips like our listeners do on the show, Bill, we've got some extremely smart listeners that probably will go out and buy your book to get your take on all of the stuff that we're talking about here. Well, no, I mean, seriously, it's on Amazon.com, and it's called Liberty in America, Past, Present, and Future, Dr. William Chobe. And, go ahead and elaborate a little bit on where you were headed with this.
Well, what I'd like to add to this, of course, the conclusion of the book is the amendments to the Constitution so that we can, codify these things and force people to the change of the Constitution, as Jefferson referred to. But the earlier caller made a comment about, good and evil in the spiritual world. you know, prior to the American Revolution, John Witherspoon was a well-known speaker and pastor. He planted the ideas of freedom from the pulpit. The Black Brigade was the patriots who were preachers, and they were sought after by the Brits. And you could not buy a Bible made in America at the time. You had to buy them from the Brits. And it was all about squashing the idea of freedom from a religious standpoint. So when we think about how this can change, the next great awakening, because there was a great awakening before the revolution, it basically, in common sense, if you ever read Thomas Paine's Common Sense, it's basically a rehash of some of the concepts of the Moses and the Bible. It gave people courage to go and fight. But even though only 40% of Americans at the time were in favor of revolution, 40% were in favor of the Brits, and 20% didn't care, the 40% that did care won. The next great awakening that we had was right before the Civil War. And what I see happening across this country, I mean, there's supposedly a prayer meeting going on in, I believe it's Tennessee, that's going on straight for 8 days.
Yes.
This is a sign of an awakening, a spiritual awakening that will empower and strengthen and encourage those believers. Others will be forced to take a stand, as for me in my house, that Joshua wrote. And when that happens, this is a great shifting of the wheat and the tares. They're all together, but there's going to come a time where they're separating, and it's by choice. And what has happened historically in this country, that the events, the things that cause people to make those God decisions, like who is God and all that kind of stuff, how does it relate to me, comes from either above by enlightenment or by revelation, or it comes from pain. Pain is a great motivator, and for people who are recalcitrant, who make changes in their lives because they got used to the old ways, and it's, well, this, at least I know where I'm going if I keep following the old ways. The only thing that changes those people is pain, and pain can come in a lot of different ways. We're feeling it at the pocketbook now with inflation. We've felt it with COVID. There's a lot of different things that are happening that are of a great macro scale. It's not 40,000 feet, but from, you know, from a universal view, from a galactic view, that are causing people to make choices about who they're going to serve. And I think through this, as we see more and more of the revelations of what's going on with Biden and his bunch and the Washington bunch, that more and more people are waking up through the Great Awakening and the efforts of spirituality in this. And in the end, we're going to win. But it means that people have to take courage, courage coming from faith, to realize that when right is might, you're free.
Well, the thing is, too, is that in the Civil War, we lost over 600,000 of our own citizenry, and about 30%. Yeah. It was about 30% of the country was actually involved in the Civil War, while the other 70% either were victims of it or stood by on the sidelines and said nothing. And so, you know, I was just on the phone yesterday with some pastors of the Black Robe Regiment, who you were talking about, and William Federer, who I'm sure you know of. And Bill was on there doing all the same stuff that we're talking about today. And I'm like doing screenshot after screenshot and going, dude, you are nailing this thing. I mean, we've had him on the show before. And I mean, when you talk about the historical perspective and the fact that the preachers and the Black Robe Regiments are the ones that actually set up, like, the Virginia Regiment, all that was done out of the church. And the thing is that all these people, you know, like when COVID hit, when the pandemic hit, one pastor in Tampa tried to hold church services. What did they do? Throw him in jail. I mean, this is history repeating itself. And the only thing different between the Civil War yesterday and today is technology. Now we have automatic weapons, and we have semi-automatic weapons and 30-round magazines, and the government is scared of the fact that we the people might actually rise up and march on Washington several hundred thousand strong, and they'll never be able to stand up to us. And if that's the case, China's going to go, oh, my God, we better not invade them, even with our 20-million-man army. The Americans are mad, and they'll shoot at anything with a helmet and a red star on it.
Yeah. Well, that's what's kept the Japanese from invading in World War II. It's the fact that we have the Second Amendment. But I don't see that ever coming to that point, because I think also that with that mass media, there's also common sense coming out. And once people realize that there is faith, and that the powers of goodness, the powers of God are going to defeat any of the darkness that's come over us, then that would discourage wanton violence. War is just evil unleashed. And I don't think people want that in spite of their differences with one another. And I pray it doesn't happen in this country, but there also something has to happen. And I believe that spiritual renewal, a change of hearts, is really how it goes. And if people just take the time to look back to the source of their freedom, they'd realize that it's sort of futile to fight it. And it's also, it could be a very miserable way to live if we don't succeed. I really appreciate the time you're giving me here today. I wanted to
We appreciate you. I love the perspective, and I think you have. Dr. William Chobe, the book is called Liberty in America, Past, Present, and Future, A Prescription for America. And this is one of the things, we can laugh at this government. This government is a joke. It's begging to be made fun of. And, we sometimes look at things and take it to light, but we know that there's a spiritual warfare going on right now. You can get this book at Amazon.com, Dr. Bill Chobe Books.com. I encourage you to read it and get your head into the Constitution and understand what's going on if you've not done so already. In the meantime, we'll be back with our Friday edition of the Power Hour tomorrow. Dave Krieger with you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. What's left of it. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.